All right.
Let's go to Matthew 28. We're going to start in the first verse. I'm going to give you a second to get back to your seats. Get your Bibles out. Where you at? Go A flat. Everybody there, Matthew 28, verse 1. Anybody need more time? Say, I need more time, Pastor Jamie. All right, we got you. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Matthew 28, verse 1. Let's go ahead and read it. I'm reading from the Passion Translation today. Excited about it. Very excited about this message. I'm trying to give myself a little bit of breath. I'm sorry. I should have told y'all could sit down for about 12 seconds. Let me breathe. I got the breath, but all right. Let's read it, y'all. After the Sabbath ended, at the first light of dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth shook violently beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord Jehovah descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him and his robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified, lying motionless like dead men. Then the angel walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it. Woo! The women were breathless and terrified until the angel said to them, "There's no reason to be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He here. He has risen victoriously. Just as he said, come inside the tomb, see the place where our Lord was lying. Then run and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. I give you his message. I'm going ahead of you in Galilee, and you will see me there." They rushed quickly to tell his disciples, and their hearts were deep in wonder and filled with great joy. Along the way, Jesus suddenly appeared in front of them and said, "Rejoice!" So they were so overwhelmed by seeing him that they bowed down and grasped his feet in adoring worship. Then Jesus said to them, "Throw off all your fears. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will find me there. There is no place you'll ever go that you will not be able to find Jesus. I'm telling you, no nook or cranny, no dead place. It don't matter where you ever go. You will never find a place where Jesus will not find you." Hey! Lord, we worship you today. We give you glory. We would give you honor. We give you praise. And I pray on this Sunday morning, this Easter Sunday morning, as we celebrate you rising from the dead victoriously, God, we pray that your name be lifted high. We pray that our hearts would be open and our minds would be open, and we would learn today something that changes our life, and that we would go out of here way different than we came in, so that we can go out and spread the gospel. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let my lips be your lips, my tongue be your tongue. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Hey, look to your neighbor and say, "You don't stink too bad yet." So you're not worshiping hard enough. Hey, so he lifts you high. Yahweh, Yahweh, we lift you high. Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, We lift you high, Yahweh, Yahweh. You lift you, Lord. We lift your name higher than any other name this morning. We lift your name, God. It is so wonderful to be in the presence of God this morning. I want you to sit down. You can sit down. You can sit down. You can sit down. You can sit down. I don't have any type of like introduction here today. I'm going straight in. So I want to get to that first verse, and I want y'all to hold on to that praise and hold on to that worship. Hold on to that passion, because we're getting through this, and we're going to worship his name and glorify his name the entire time. Let's go to the first verse, Matthew. Let's read through this really quick. After the Sabbath ended at the first light of dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth shook violently beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord Jehovah. Ha! You know, in another translation, it says the angel of the Lord Yahweh. Now, I'll get to that in just a minute, because that word is interchangeable in the Hebrew culture, okay? So in order to help you understand Easter Sunday, that's why we're going to stop there, okay? I'm going to explain something really quick. In order to understand Jesus and the message of the gospel of Jesus, you got to understand who Jesus is, right? A lot of times we celebrate that on Easter, and if we grew up in church, we know that Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead, right? And we celebrate that on Easter Sunday. But who is Jesus? And why do we need him to die for our sins? And why did he die and rise again? What's the point of it all? Why does it matter to me, right? And when you're sharing the gospel with other people, it matters. He got this.
It's so good. I love it.
All right. What? It matters. It matters. Right. Okay. So we got to make sure that we understand the story of Jesus and the origin of Jesus to make sure you understand why you need Jesus, okay? So let's travel back. All right, now in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on down, it says, and then the Word became flesh, okay? So if we understand that, what we understand is that God is who existed before time, right? Amen? We following? Y'all gonna have to rap with me. We're gonna weave and bob, and we're gonna get there. So y'all pay attention. Amen? You listening? All right. A few more amens or yeses would be good. All right. So here's Jesus. Okay. Here's the Word. Okay. So we know that God has a name. His name's the Word, right? That was the name that he was given by John to say he existed in the beginning. So when he became flesh, we understand that he's talking about Jesus, right? Okay, so Jesus, his name by John, was the Word, okay? Now, if we go back even further, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start right in the beginning again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, God, the word for God in the Hebrew in Genesis is Elohim, okay? Now, there's an importance that you need to understand the names of God. So I'm going to give a quick rundown of those things, because if you don't understand that, you won't understand why you need Jesus, okay? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so in John, he tells us the Word became flesh. So we know Jesus is the Word. Now, in the beginning, God, Elohim. Now, Elohim is the Hebrew word for God used in this instance by the writer, okay? God, Elohim, is something that is a plural word as opposed to a singular. Now, if we go back and have an English lesson, I'm always giving y'all English lessons in here. Either English lessons or science lessons. Maybe I'll get to social studies later and talk about how crazy this world is. I'm just kidding. This week I'm back on English. I never wanted to teach, but here I am teaching up on here. Anyways, I did student teaching. This has nothing to do with my message. I did student teaching in first semester of college, and I said, this is for the birds. I wanted to tell every kid in there except for one to go kick rocks. I thought, I'm not teaching these kids anything. This ain't for me. This is not my heart. This ain't my ministry. So, anyways. But I love kids. Just don't have any yet. Don't love them enough, clearly. I love your kids. Okay. Anyways. So, here we are, Elohim, it's plural. as opposed to singular, meaning if I want one pizza, I say pizza. If I want multiple pizzas, I say pizzas, right? I put an S at the end. That's not how it is in the Hebrew language. In the Hebrew language, this word Elohim is a plural meaning. And this plural meaning is for what we understand to be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, okay? Now, God the Father is the one who reigns in heaven. He never leaves his throne. He's up there. He's seated. He's right there on his throne. But he's also everywhere via the Holy Ghost, okay? The Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit permeates throughout the whole world. But in and through Jesus, he created this earth, okay? How do I know that? Go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians, Matthew. Can you take me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15? Christ, the visible image of the invisible God, he existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. All right, that's Jesus, right? For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he all holds all of creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, right? Okay, so here's the deal. God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus did not exist just like when he was born, okay? Jesus existed way before then. He didn't just come on the scene, and now we need this man to save us. No. You got to understand that Jesus existed. He just had a different name. Because to John, he was the Word. Here, he's the Christ or Messiah. Now, let's go. Let's keep going back. Now, here's where you need to understand something. Where do we get this name? All right, let's keep going. All right, I'm just taking you on this little journey, okay? We're going to get there. We're almost there. And we're going to have a fun time when we get there. Woo, made it. All right, here we go. So Moses is sitting here, and he's walking down the street. Now, Moses, you know, he was born, thrown in the river. Egyptian lady got it, you know, put him in Pharaoh's house, was raised there, left, went to this other place, came back. All of a sudden, here he is. Oh, whoa, what's that doing? Why is there a bush on fire but not burning up? What's going on? So here's Moses. He comes up. He sees this little bush on fire. He walks up to this bush, and he's like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, a voice shouts out. He goes, Moses, take off your sandals, because where you stand is holy ground. Okay, so here's Moses. He like, I'm not going to do that. My feet don't smell good. Not like y'all can smell them, but I will. All right, so here we are. He's walking up, and he sees this bush on fire, and then all of a sudden he looks at it, and he's like, oh. So he takes his sandals off, and he's having this discussion, and he's like, I've heard of my oppressed people. I've heard of my people. They're oppressed. I've come to give you a message. Go back. Tell them I'm getting y'all out, all right? So Moses is like, all right, but who should I tell them sent me? Who should I tell them? What's the name I should give them? And he goes, I am. Now, here's the thing. What you got to understand about God. Here's the thing. It's like, okay, he's Jesus to us. But at that moment, he was I am. And in Jehovah and Yahweh, it's all like the interchangeable in the Hebrew language. That's what's interesting is that God, from the very beginning, he sent Jesus to create the earth, reign over the earth, and then Jesus comes to Moses in this burning bush. We know him as Jesus. They know him as Yahweh. But the name may change, but the God ain't the same. He always stays the same. Here's the thing, though. A lot of people will be like, well, why didn't he just come back as Yahweh? Well, because he came as Jehovah, and then he said, fill in the blank. Jehovah, Jireh, provider. Jehovah, Nisi. Jehovah Shalom, I'm your peace. Jehovah Rapha, he came and he said, I am, fill in the blank. Why would he not just come as Yahweh? He didn't need to come as Yahweh. He needed to come as Jesus, because if you understand the name Jesus, it means to save, to rescue, or to deliver. When Jesus comes on the scene, when our God in heaven comes on the scene, he comes in the form that you need him, not the form you want him. And so what happens here is when he says, the God, the angel of the Lord, Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, Yahweh, he's saying, I am who I said I am. And I am back. I am here to save you. I am here to rescue you. I am here to deliver you. I am here to set you free. I am, I was then, and I still am today, because I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. My name might have changed, but my purpose is the same. I'm everything you'll ever need. Ever need, ever need. I am that man. And so here is, so what you got to understand is Jesus is the one who actually created us. The Creator knows what the creation needs better than the creation does. So the foundations of the earth that he laid, he said, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of innocent blood. So what did he do? He came in and lived an innocent, blameless, faultless life to make sure to save and redeem his creation. He's not like any other God in the entire world. Every other God's like, lay down before me, bow down before me. But he's like, I came down to serve you, to save you, to love you, to be gracious to you, to be merciful to you. That's the kind of Jesus that we serve. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but he loved us so much that he came to be the sacrificial lamb. My God, what a God. What a God he is. How incredible he is. So, all right, so let's get on with this. Because there's something, it hit me, and I'm going to do my best to stay on this stage. Let's go to verse 2. Go to verse 2. Suddenly the earth shook violently beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord Jehovah descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him, and his robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified. Oh, lying motionless like dead men. Could you imagine seeing this? I mean, I would lie that motionless and dead, too. I'd be like, I mean, would you not be like, imagine someone just like straight up ziplining down right now, like dropping from the ceiling, just flapping. I'd be like, like a deer in the headlights wouldn't even describe me. I'd be like, my mouth open, drooling. So they're lying motionless and dead. All right, so here's what's crazy about this, though. This is what gets me so excited. If you want to understand the guards thing, though, you got to go back to the portion before this, right? It's crazy to me. All right, they said, so the Pharisees and religious people. No, I'm not calling names from the stage. And little, whatever, brood of vipers and little crazies. Here they are in chapter 27. They come to Pilate, and they go, hey, now Jesus, this man, he said he was on the third day was going to raise from the dead, okay? He told us he's going to raise from the dead. So I want you, can we just have you to just, you know, not have to deal with this mess that he might cause by actually raising from the dead? You know, can you just go and seal that tomb? And make sure to seal it up and put some guards at the outside. It's crazy because a lot of times it's not that people don't believe in you. It's that they just hate you. And they don't want you to be successful. And a lot of times people are like, oh, they just won't listen to me. No, they're listening. They just don't like you. Because you got something they don't. My God. So they hate you. And they hated Jesus so much they believed him, but they didn't want him taken. What they had. They didn't want their power gone. They didn't want their status gone. So they listened to him. They believed him. They just hated him. Because what he asked them to do wasn't what they wanted. All right? humble wasn't their pie of choice. But I started thinking about it from my standpoint of me. And I thought, I wonder how many times as I think back over my life that I was bound in a place of like depression. And the enemy was like, yeah, I got him dead to rights. But just in case, I'm going to send over. Can you go, hey, stand outside. Make sure he don't get out of that place of depression. And I started thinking about how important must I be that the enemy is so scared of what Jesus could use me for. Some of y'all better take that. Y'all better eat that up and realize some of you must be so important. My God. That the enemy is so terrified of what you could do if you begin to get out and you get out of that dead place and you get out of that bound place. You get out of that place where you've been hiding in a cave. But what could happen? Oh my God, you must be important. That he cares so much. He wants to keep you in that dead place. Oh, that should excite some of you because you've been in a place of depression. But the same power that raised Christ from the dead, it lives inside of you. And if you ever tap into the power, you must be important. You must be so important. And you are. You know why? Because you're chosen. And I speak to every person who came in here with grave clothes on of depression, grave clothes on of anxiety, grave clothes on of fear, grave clothes on of worry, grave clothes when you still wearing them same old grave clothes. No, no, no. Today, you're going to hear this message and you're going to realize I don't have to stay in them same clothes anymore. I don't have to stay in that same place of death anymore. I have life because Christ came to give me life and life more abundantly. And I'm getting out. And if I had a title for today's message, what I'd tell you is the devil may have had you bound, but it's not over. He thought he had him dead to rights in the tomb. Came in, started sealing it around the whole thing. Sealing it. Brought concrete. That's what it says. Bring concrete. Seal it all up. Seal up the whole stone. Seal it up and put some guards outside of it. Now here's what's interesting to me. I love this part. Read this with me. Go to like verse 4. Maybe. No, go to 6. Look at this, y'all. No, I'm sorry. 4. It was 4. But, since my golf swing. Matthew, that's 5. I need 4. Go back to 2. You're right. It's 2 through 4. All right. Woo! Let's go to the end. Lying motionless like dead men. Then the angel walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it. Y'all notice anything? You know, when I was growing up, I thought Jesus came in and rolled away the stone. But it wasn't Jesus. It's the angel. Right? I learned that when I got older. Now go to the next verse. The women were breathless and terrified until the angel said to them, ain't no reason to be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Check this out. He isn't here. Hold on. So how does he's not there, but the stone was still in place. Jesus don't need a door. He is the door. Come on, when you put your life in the hands of Jesus, he got a backstage exit that he'll just open up. And all of a sudden, it's like, where'd he go? Oh my God, he ain't here no more. Where'd he go? He don't need a door to be opened by any human hands, by any human words. He is the one who makes a way when there ain't no way. You don't believe him, ask the Hebrew boys. You don't believe him, ask Daniel in the lion's den. You don't ever believe him, ask them Israelites when he parted the Red Sea. When there is no way, he is the way. When you trust in Jesus, my God, when you trust in Jesus and you put your hope in Jesus, you can literally be bound behind something. You can literally be trapped in addiction. The drugs eating you up. You could be trapped in depression. I'm in this hole. I don't know what to do. I've been here for so long. This is the only thing I know. There's no way out. It's sealed. I thought I had freedom in Christ. I thought I had freedom. Here I am. I'm bound. I'm trapped. There's no way out. But when you say Jesus, here I am. I am yours. I put my faith in you. I put my trust in you. I put my hope in you. And there may not look like there's a way out of this place of depression, but my God, make a way. It's not over. You may feel like it is all said and done, but it's not over until Jesus says it's over. So here he is. He goes, looks at, he says, hey, look in there, look. Basically, like, hey, here's the receipts. You know, we got a whole bunch of people in the world, they don't believe nothing. But he's like, you know, everybody's like, when someone say something to me, I'm like, show me some receipts, you know? Where's the proof? I don't see no pudding. Here he is. And the angel goes, look in there. Look. Oh, yeah, he ain't there, is he? He gone. So he's like, opens up, and he's like, look in there. He opens it up. But just to remind you, angels too. God will send angels on your behalf to open up places and open up doors. Because you don't understand the way that the spirit realm works. Don't mean it don't work. I know a car works, but I don't know how in the world. You tell me it's a spark plug, I'm going to say, fire it up. I don't know nothing about them. Right, so I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going because there's something right here at the end that I just want to really get to, and I don't want to hold y'all too long. But I think it's really important. All right, let's go. Let's go to verse 7, Matthew. Then run and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. I give you his message. His message, Yahweh's, Jehovah, Jesus. I am going ahead of you in Galilee, and you'll see me there. There's always a task that he gives to us. His salvation is not just for you. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, yes, but also the word of our testimony. He gives us a task. The gospel message is to go out and preach it to the world. Share it with people in your home. Share it with people in your workplace. That's the gospel message. That's what we got to do, okay? He always gives us a task because he works in and through us just like God the Father worked in and through Christ. Right? Okay? So, let's go to verse 8. They rushed quickly to tell his disciples, and their hearts were deep in wonder and filled with great joy. Just a reminder, you can be terrified and joyful all at the same time. Multiple things can be present at once. Depression, you may be dealing with some sort of like depressive spirit. You may have an emotion of fear, but you can still be steadfast at the same time because you know that Christ lives inside of you. So when things attack you, you can have certain emotions while also being able to be steadfast in who Christ is because he lives inside of you. So you have the ability to stand firm when the waves hit you, to stand firm when attacks come your way, to stand firm and stay grounded. Because you can have peace in storms, okay? So you can have multiple things present at once. Okay, but here's where I want to end. Go ahead, Mom. I'm going to play. Let's go to verse 9, and then we're going to end in verse 10. And I'm going to go somewhere in the Old Testament. Along the way, Jesus suddenly appeared in front of them. And he said, rejoice. They were so overwhelmed by seeing him that they bowed down. And they grasped his feet. Imagine seeing Jesus. Imagine seeing someone you thought was dead, that you loved dearly, and it came back, and it just grabbed his feet in adoring worship. And then Jesus said to him, throw off all your fears. What an incredible thing. And if you want to understand what that means, you've got to go back to Isaiah chapter 61. Because in Isaiah chapter 61, I want to read this off to you, and then I want to explain something to you that is probably the most incredible thing about the gospel message. It's incredible. He said, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. Because the Lord, Yahweh, has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Look at how me is capitalized. This is Jesus speaking as Yahweh. And he says, to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison. My God, sounds a whole lot like a tomb. To the prison, to those who are bound, oh my God, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. Do you understand that this is the greatest exchange rate that has ever existed? Come on. All right, listen. Let me explain it to you. When I go to a different country, like if you were to go to a different country, you would have to go and take U.S. dollars and give them an exchange. I need some pesos. Can you give me some pesos? Here's some dollars. And then they'll take a cut out of it. And then they'll give you money in return. Now, in every country, the money is different, right? And a U.S. dollar, maybe, I don't even know what the exchange rate is, like 10 or 100 pesos. I don't even know. I don't know what the exchange rate is. But what I do know is that Jesus, the exchange rate for what Jesus said, he said, you mourn, give it to me, and I'll give you joy. You give me ashes, I'll give you beauty. You give me your broken heart, I'll give you peace. You give me your problems, I'll give you solutions. You give me your pain and I'll give you freedom. You give me what you've got. And I know that it's going to be something that you don't deserve, but I'm going to give you something great back. You know why? Because I'm your creator. I love you more than anything. I came down to the cross. I died for you. And then I went down to hell to get the keys to death, hell, and the grave, rose back up. Here's what he said. Go back to verse 3. I wanted to hear. I want you to see this. Verse 3 of Isaiah 61, Matthew. Console those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for heaviness. What did you come in here carrying today? Is your world collapsing and burning? Have you been sad? Have you been brokenhearted? Are you missing a family member? Does it seem like everything's collapsing around you? There's a man named Jesus. who loved you so much. Why did he love you so much? Because he created you. Before you were even in your mother's womb, he knew you. He created you. He has a purpose for you. And he put you here on this earth. Why? Because he has a plan for you. But what you have got to do is make a decision. I will give you all of my mourning, God. I will give you all of my pain, Jesus. And I will let you give me what I don't deserve because I know you love me. That is the God that we serve. That's him, y'all. He's the risen Savior. And so here's what I want to do. I want you to stand. I want everybody to stand all over the whole church. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head and I want you to close your eyes. And if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I have not given my life to Jesus. I have not been living a life that honors him. And I want to dedicate my life to him. I want to turn my mourning back over. Because he turns mourning into dancing, y'all. I want to give him my pain. Okay, if that's you here this morning, and this is what I want you to do, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you just right where you are, if you say, I need to give my life to Jesus or rededicate my life to him this morning, I want you to just simply raise your hand right where you are. If that's you, just raise your hand. Yes, I see you. I see you. It's hard for me to see up here. Listen, if that's you here today, raised your hand. Yes. See you. Yes. All right. If that's you and you've raised your hand, I want everybody to keep your head bowed and keep your eyes closed. I want you, if you've raised your hand, I want you to just lift your head and I want you to look up this way. Okay. I want you to look up here. Okay. Now, those of you who have lifted your heads, as you've done that, I want you to find somebody. I want you to find somebody that's standing in the aisles. We have some people standing in the aisles. I want you to make eye contact with them. Because here's what we want to do. We want to give you a bag, and in that bag, it's called a decision bag. There's a book in it called What to Do Now That I'm a Christian. There's also a Bible with a reading plan in it, okay? You want to know what to do now that you're a Christian? We've got a reading plan of all the things that you need to where you need to start in the Bible. And then we've got eight next steps in there, as well as a phone number that you can call to talk to somebody about any more questions that you have. Okay, so we want you to have resources because we know that you need to know that people are with you on this journey, okay? And we are here to help you. So, if you would, everybody in the church, would you just lift your heads now? Would you lift your heads and look up this way? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you shall be saved. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to count to three, and I want all of us as the church to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Can we do that? Here we go. One, two, three. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Listen, y'all, I don't know how many hands were raised all over the church, but we had a bunch of hands go up to make a decision to follow Jesus. Hallelujah! So here's what I want you to do. If you're a little shy and you didn't want to look up and you don't want to make eye contact, there is a table on the way out. And there's a banner beside it that says, I've decided to follow Jesus. If you want to grab one of those bags on the way out, you can do that. We love you. We are so glad that you chose to be here today. We know you could have been anywhere else. So, LifeGate family and all the guests, can we give Jesus one more hand clap of praise? Come on, give him some glory. Hallelujah! All right, I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to dismiss you. And then we're going to get out of here, and we're all going to go home and eat Easter dinner, and then we're going to go cheer for Tennessee to win to go to the Final Four. Amen? Hallelujah! Listen, if Alabama made it, somebody better than Alabama has got to be in the Final Four, okay? It's going to be terrible to have to hear it from my mom, all these football championships and now basketball Final Four. I'm tired of these. I'm just kidding. Lord, sanctify me. Lord, we are thankful today for all that you've done. We love you. We worship you. We lift your name high above every other name. We are thankful for who you are. We're thankful that you created us. You came. You lived a faultless, blameless life. Died on the cross for us. Went to hell and stole the keys to death, hell, and the grave right back. Took back, you know, steal it. You took back what was yours. You rose from the dead so that all of us in this room could have eternal life. We thank you for that. We love you, Lord. Touch the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all are dismissed.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia. And I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you can get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.